Today, the Supreme Court threw out an almost 30-year-old death sentence for a black man convicted of murdering a white woman in Georgia. In a ruling that said that prosecutors improperly kept African Americans off the jury in his trial. NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving is here with a look at this and other news out of Washington today. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Robin.
So Timothy Tyrone Foster is the Georgia man convicted back in 1986 in the murder of a white school teacher. He's been on death row. What was the evidence that blacks had been kept off his jury? Because lawyers do have discretion in rejecting potential jurors.
That's right. They can dismiss a juror for cause. But then there's something else called a peremptory strike, which is also a dismissal of a prospective juror, for which the attorney does not actually have to give some sort of a cause. And the jurors who had not already been dismissed for cause were systematically rooted out by peremptory strike if they were African-American. 100% of the prospective jurors who were black were excluded from that jury, while only about one of seven white people who were there in the jury pool were excluded. That's pretty powerful evidence to begin with. But under the Georgia Open Records Law, the appeals attorneys handling this case went back and actually got the notes of the prosecutors in which they had underlined every African-American's name in a green highlighter and then written out B1, B2, B3 next to each name before they peremptorily struck each one of them. That's pretty potent stuff.
Yeah, pretty damning. So there's that ruling throwing out that death sentence, a person who's been serving time on death row. The court today also ruled on a case about voting districts. Just tell us a little about that.
In Virginia, a court-ordered revision of the congressional district maps was seen to be perhaps disadvantageous for the prospects of re-election for three of the Republicans who are now serving in Congress from that state. So they sued, and the court has said, you know, you really don't have standing to challenge this court-ordered revision unless you can show real harm. And we need to see some real evidence of your being harmed. And since we haven't had a primary or an election yet in Virginia under these lines, the court was not satisfied they had seen that much proof.
Okay. Well, speaking of voting, and we've waited at least 2 minutes to mention the name Donald Trump. Donald Trump is shown to have a slight national lead over Hillary Clinton in some polls that came out yesterday from the Washington Post and ABC. 46% to 44%, of course, with a margin of error. That's a tie. Your takeaway?
Well, it's one of several we have seen in recent days that are within the margin of error. And the ones you mentioned also from Fox, Rasmussen Reports, NBC, Wall Street Journal, all finding the race to be within this small margin, some with Hillary Clinton up, some with Donald Trump up, all really are basically the same in terms of what they're determining within the margin of error. And we know this, that in past presidential elections, a candidate in either party gets 2 points at which – two junctures in the campaign, two phases of the campaign in which they can expect to see a bump. One is right after the convention. We all talk about the convention bounce. But the earlier one is right after that person has consolidated the party and become the nominee, right after the contest for the nomination has effectively been closed. And that has happened on the Republican side. Donald Trump is now the de facto nominee of that party. And it has not happened as of yet on the Democratic side because Bernie Sanders is still in the race. And so that one consolidation bounce has taken place for Donald Trump. Yeah. It's also interesting to take a look at some of the issues where he's doing well: immigration, trade, taxes, the things he has talked about. But he is not doing well in these polls on things such as meeting people's criteria for being president, either in qualifications or in personality or having realistic proposals.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Bernie Sanders. He's still fighting largely the Democratic system and the idea that there are superdelegates who've already committed to Hillary Clinton. She's battling Donald Trump. Yesterday on Meet the Press, she talked about the fact that he hasn't released tax returns. She was referring to a story last week in the Washington Post that revealed that Trump didn't pay any income taxes the last time his records were out in the public in the late 70s. People really seem to care about this issue of taxes when it was a question of Mitt Romney's taxes. Trump talks about how, yeah, I try to not pay taxes. How do you think this is going to resonate?
It seems to be resonating not only with Democrats, you'd expect that, but it's also resonating among independents. Now, in that Washington Post poll we just talked about, independents favored Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton by 14 points. That's pretty good. That's a very impressive margin among independents. But 60% of those same independents said they were bothered by Donald Trump's failure to release his tax returns. And almost all that 60% said they were strongly strongly upset about it. They felt strongly about it. So that could be something that could eat into his advantage among independents as we get closer to the general election. And we would also note that on the People magazine homepage, they're referring to Hillary Clinton's quote about this morning. It does seem to be something that's resonating in an audience Donald Trump should dominate.
She went on to say she made the connection few remember to make. Taxes pay for our military, pay for our roads. So we'll see how that resonates. NPR's senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving with our Monday morning check. And thanks as always.
Thank you, Robin.